International and Kyrenia Amateur Dramatic Society present an adapted radio presentation of Sherlock's Excellent Adventure by James Barry. The world's greatest consulting detective, a man of genius, and my best friend. During the time I've known him, he's solved more than 200 cases, many of which I've immortalized in my articles for the Strand magazine. But there's a particular unpublished case I'd like to tell you about. I think you'll find it of interest, because part of it happened right here. Of course, it started, as did most of our adventures, in London, or, to be more precise, in our apartments at 221B Baker Street. When I arrived home from my constitutional, Mrs. Hudson, our housekeeper, was there, as usual, with my newspaper and slippers. Mrs. Hudson is wearing my slippers and reading my paper. Mrs. Hudson!
Ooh!
How many times did I tell you those are my newspaper and slippers?
Well, Dr. Watson, I wasn't expecting you back quite so early.
So I see. What the deuce? There's a large piece cut out of my paper.
Sorry about that. It had a rather nice recipe for drop scones.
Well,
I'll go and tell Mr. Holmes you're back then, shall I? He's in his room playing his violin.
Yes, so I hear. Is it true?
Oh, no. It's definitely Mr. Holmes. There's no one else in there.
Our study never really changed in all the years we lodged together. The mantelpiece with its Persian slipper full of tobacco. Our favourite armchairs angled towards the fire.
Who the devil are you talking to, Watson?
What? Just doing a little narrating, Holmes. Setting the scene, don't you know? Ladies and gentlemen, this is my dear friend, Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
A pleasure.
I've just been telling them about you, though of course everyone's heard of Mr. Sherlock Holmes, and I'm sure they'd like to hear a demonstration of your powers.
A what?
Yes. Perhaps you would indicate to the listeners how you can tell what someone's been up to just from noticing silly little things about them.
Was that a pitiful attempt at describing my powers of deduction?
I'm afraid it was, Holmes, yes.
My methods are not a parlour game, Watson. To be performed is cheap entertainment. They're a finely honed, analytical tool.
Nonetheless, they'd like a demonstration.
No, they wouldn't.
Oh, yes, they would.
Oh, no, they wouldn't.
Oh, yes, they would.
Please stop this right now. This isn't a pantomime, you know.
Go.
Don't start that off again.
Then tell them what you can do. I know. You can demonstrate on me.
What?
What have I been up to this morning?
I haven't got time for this, Watson.
Oh, yes, you have.
All right. I'll do it if you promise to stop that nonsense right now.
Agreed.
Very well. After breakfast, you went for a stroll across Regent's Park, attended a matinee performance at the Camden Music Hall, popped into the Dogging Duck for a pink gin, then called a cab directly back here. There. How'd I do?
By Jove, Holmes, you were absolutely spot on in every respect. How on earth could you have known all that simply by looking at me?
How many times must I tell you? I don't know. I merely observe and deduce. The mud on your shoes is a mixture of clay and sand. The only open space near here with such a mix is Regent's Park. You went out hurriedly this morning, leaving your newspaper open at page 4. Something had clearly caught your eye. The only item of interest on that page is an advertisement for today's speciality act at the Camden Music Hall.
Today only, Bendy Wendy, the amazing rubber girl. One day we've no doubt she'll turn herself inside out. All seats, 9p.
After the performance, rather than return across the park, you walked via the west path, as witnessed by the single rose in your lapel, bought from the flower girl on the corner of St. John's Road you developed such a weakness for.
Charming creature.
The obvious reason for your detour would have been the Dog and Duck public house, where you presumably stopped for a drink. The aroma of juniper berries on your breath points to gin, a tipple you always take with a dash of Angostura's and that quinine-based mixture you developed a taste for during your Raj days. It was raining when you returned, yet your clothes are dry. Therefore, you must have hailed a cab. You see? Simple deduction.
Incredible, my dear Holmes.
Elementary, my dear Watson. Get that, would you, Mrs. Hudson? Unless I'm very much mistaken, I would say this visitor would be a young lady of breeding, wishing to consult me on a delicate family matter.
I'm rather flabbergasted, Holmes. How could you deduce all that from a simple bell ring?
Well...
Because she telephoned 10 minutes ago to make an appointment.
Yes, thank you, Mrs. Hudson. As I was about to say, she telephoned about 10 minutes ago in, I might add, a state of extreme agitation.
Poor, delicate creature.
Why do you say that? You haven't even met her. But I'm forgetting, they're all delicate creatures to you, aren't they, Watson?
They certainly are. Except Mrs. Hudson, of course.
Of course.
Miss Lucy Matravers, sir.
I say.
I'm Lucy Matravers.
Charmed.
Thank you for seeing me at such short notice.
A pleasure, I assure you.
Oh, sir, I am undone.
Then allow me to do you up again.
Beg your pardon. Are you Mr. Holmes?
Excuse me, young lady. I am Sherlock Holmes.
You are... Then who?
This is my good friend and confidant, Dr. John Watson.
Oh, good day to you, sir.
Charmed.
Now, please tell me what matter brings you here.
Well...
Don't worry. You may speak perfectly freely in front of Dr. Watson, although I'd advise you to avoid anything suggested.
Very well. 2 years ago, Mr. Holmes, my dear father died. Since then, Mummy and I have lived alone on the family estate in Hampshire. I had always been given to understand that upon my mother's death, the estate would pass to me. I'm sad to say that a few days ago, my mother too was taken from me after a short illness.
There.
Mrs. Hudson, perhaps a small brandy?
Oh, not for me, thanks. I've got work to do.
I meant for the young lady, Mrs. Hudson.
Oh, then why didn't you say so? I'm not cyclic, you know.
I do apologise, Mr. Holmes. It's all still very painful for me.
Quite understandable, my dear lady. Please take all the time you need.
I'm all right now, thank you. My predicament is that it seems my mother's will, leaving Matravers de Gaulle's to me, is missing. Without it, the whole estate passes to Mummy's oldest surviving relative, her brother James, my uncle. I have 1 week to prove that my parents intended the estate to come to me. Otherwise, my uncle will inherit everything.
But I'm sure, my dear, that if you were to explain to your uncle...
You don't understand, Dr. Watson. My uncle is an evil, evil man. He's already written to me saying he wants me out of the house by the end of this week.
Oh, the bounder.
I'm certain he intends to move into the house himself so he can find the will and destroy it. Along with my last chance of inheritance. Mr. Holmes, I beg you, tell me you'll help me find the will.
I am utterly at your disposal, my dear young lady.
Who's a good big brandy, then?
It's much too large a brandy, Mrs. Hudson. It is an enormous glass of brandy.
Is it? Well, very well, Mr. Holmes. Soon sort that out.
Now, you say you fear this uncle of yours plans to find the will and destroy it?
I do. He'll stop at nothing to get his hands on my small holding.
Who?
Is your brandy?
That's still far too much.
Well, if you say so, Mr. Holmes. Waste not, want not.
And you're certain there is a will, Miss Montrose?
There must be, Mr. Holmes. Mummy always told me I'd be able to prove the estate was mine by rights.
An interesting choice of words.
Your brandy, miss.
Not for me, thank you.
Oh, please yourself. Down the hatch, then.
Leaving aside the missing will, is there any other evidence that your mother intended the estate to pass to you?
Well, nothing concrete. But on her deathbed, my mother handed me a small box. I'm sure it is a clue of some sort. But when I opened it after the funeral, alas, it was empty.
A box, you say? I would very much like to see it.
I haven't brought it with me, I'm afraid. But I will send it to you on my return to Matravers Towers. Oh, I do so hope you can solve this dilemma for me, Mr. Holmes. I should hate for the estate to fall into the hands of rotten old Uncle Moriarty.
Moriarty?
Do you mean Moriarty?
That's right. My uncle is Professor James Moriarty. Why, do you know him?
Know him? I'll say we do. He's Holmes' most dreaded rival. An evil genius without equal.
Miss McTavis, this matter is far more serious than I'd hitherto given it credit for. You must return home immediately. Watson and I will catch the next train down to Hampshire.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Holmes. You've no idea how much this means to me. I'll have the guest rooms ready for you this evening.
No, no, we can't stay with you.
Oh, can't we?
No, we can't. Moriarty mustn't find out I'm on the case. At least not yet. With an element of surprise, we might just catch him off guard. No, Watson and I will find lodgings nearby.
I've got a twin sister who lives down there. She runs the dewdrop in the next village. I'm sure she put you up.
You never told us you had a twin sister.
Well, you never asked.
That's agreed, then. Visit us at the Dewdrop Inn this evening and bring that box with you. I've an idea it's important.
Very well. Goodbye, Mr. Holmes. Dr. Watson, thank you again.
Goodbye, my dear lady. Till this evening.
Mrs. Hudson, pack two overnight bags, if you will, then send a telegram to your sister to expect our imminent arrival.
Righty-tighty, Mr. Holmes.
And I think a strong black coffee and a lie-down would be in order.
Oh, good idea. I think I'll join you.
Within half an hour, our bags were packed, a hansom cab summoned, and we've been safely deposited at Waterloo Station.
Calling up Woking, Basingstoke, Barley Wallop, Middle Wallop, Nether Wallop, Hefty Wallop, Almighty Wallop, Codswallop. Kingsworthy, Martyrworthy, Hardly Worthy, We're Not Worthy. Itchin Abbas, Itchin Stoke, Itchin Underpants. Rockley, Cockley, Mockley, Botley, Shotley, Totley, Oakley, Dokley, Pig in a Pokey, Tottley, Shotley, Cockley, Rockley, Hot and Totley, Little Pimple on the Bum, the whole pointing going on and all stations to Little Dribble.
And this is the Express. I must say that you seem very composed under the circumstances.
What circumstances?
Well, coming up against your arch enemy again like this, I would have thought you'd be worried.
Worried?
Anxious.
Anxious?
After all, he does always seem to be better with you, doesn't he? It would certainly have been worried.
Would it really?
Oh, yes. I mean, whenever you're quiet, of course, Moriarty invariably comes out on top. It must be of concern to a man who's supposed to be the world's greatest detective to be continually thwarted by the same fellow time again.
Oh, thank you for the vote of confidence, Watson, but I am fully aware of the outcome of my previous encounters with the esteemed professor.
I got to feel all my comments about his previous record against Moriarty. Didn't go down too well.
By the way, Watson, did you get everything we require for our journey, as I asked you?
Yes, I think so. A quarter of the a copy of I Spy on a Victorian Train Journey. Oh, and the very latest Organ Survey.
Aren't you forgetting one small thing, Watson?
I don't think so.
The tickets for the train journey.
Oh, perhaps. I knew there was something else.
Ticket, please.
Oh, heavens. Whatever shall we do, Holmes? This thing's a predicament. You know, I didn't know ticket inspectors were bad. Fair enough. You were trapped. Then I went out. Was there to death. And we caught without a valid ticket.
There's only one thing forward. We'll have to hide in the toilet.
It's 39 stops.
You should have thought of that before, you dunderhead. Come on, follow me.
Tickets, please.
For some reason, Holmes rather shortened the duration of the journey. Meanwhile, Lucy was arriving back at Matravers Towers.
good to be home. This place is so full of happy memories for me. But for how long will it be my home?
Not much longer if I have any say in the matter.
You? Uncle Moriarty?
Good afternoon, Lucy, my dear. Well, don't you have a kiss for your favourite uncle?
What are you doing here?
Oh, I just thought I'd come and do some measuring up. I've got great plans for this place, don't you know?
Get out! Get out of my house!
But it's not your house, my dear niece. It's mine. At least it will be by the end of the week. Unless, of course, you've found that will.
You know I haven't. Yet.
That's assuming there is one, of course.
There is. There must be. You know very well Mummy wanted me to have this house. She'd never have let you get your thieving hands on the Travers Towers.
And yet, that seems to be exactly what the silly old girl has done. And I must say, a grand house it is too. Unfortunately, my poor dear sister never did have any taste. But I'll soon put that right. And it's such a big house, too. You know, even if that will did exist, I'd wager you'd probably never find it in 1,000 years, searching a place of this size. Like trying to find a needle in a haystack, I shouldn't wonder.
Oh, I'll find it all right. And what's more, I've got someone who's promised to help me find it.
Have you now? Oh, I'm trembling like a jelly. A word of advice. Don't waste your time and money on enlisting help, my dear. You know there's not a soul alive who can outwit me. No one who can match me for intellect and cunning.
Except...
Yes? Except? Who are you going to say, huh? Not telling? All right, then. Let me guess. Huh, I know. You've hired a certain Mr. Sherlock Holmes, haven't you? What's the matter, dear? Cat got your tongue? Well, well. Sherlock Holmes. That should certainly make matters a bit more interesting. In that case, I suppose I'd better give this small wooden box back to you.
Mother's box?
That's right. I understand she gave it to you just before she died.
It's of no worth to you. Give it back.
Don't worry, dear. You can have it. After all, we don't want our friend Mr. Sherlock Holmes accusing me of theft, now do we? In any case, I've seen all I need to see. Well, my little Lucy, I'll be off. Give my regards to Mr. Holmes, won't you? Oh, and that buffoon of a doctor he hangs around with. And don't forget to have your bags packed by the end of the week now, will you? Ta-ta.
And good riddance, you wicked, wicked man. Oh, Lucy, it was so stupid of you to tell him about Sherlock Holmes, especially when he told you to keep it a secret. How could you have been so foolish? Now he knows, he'll be on his guard. I must go and warn Mr. Holmes right away and take this box to him for all the good it will do us now. Oh, but I mustn't give up hope. For Mummy and Daddy's sake, I've got to fight for this house. Yes, do you hear me, Moriarty? You've not won yet.
Holmes was still in a bit of a strop when we finally arrived at our destination, the Dewdrop Inn. This was probably because I'd inadvertently forgotten to telegram ahead for a carriage to meet us at the station.
Service!
I suppose that's why I had to carry everything the 3 miles to the Dewdrop Inn.
Service!
Be with you in a mo! Oh, good evening, gentlemen.
By Jove, Mrs. Hudson, what on earth are you doing here?
Oh, I'm not Mrs. Hudson, sir. I'm her twin sister.
Really? Well, I'm flabbergasted. Well, why, you're as alike as two peas in a pod.
Do you think so? Oh, I must admit, you're not the first to comment on there being a certain similarity between us. Though, I can't say as I see it myself.
Can't see it? Why, woman, the two of you are absolutely identical in every respect.
Oh, no, sir. I'd have to disagree with you there. My sister takes after our father, you see, whereas I get my looks from our mother's side.
But don't pursue it, Watson. They live by different rules in the countryside.
Oh. Now, let me see. You must be Mr. Sherlock Holmes. So you've got to be Dr. Watson, then. I've been expecting you.
How did you know which of us was which? Has your sister described us to you?
Oh, she most certainly has.
Really? And what did she have to say about me?
Believe me, Dr. Watson, sir, you don't want to know. But you, Mr. Holmes, my sister has nothing but the kindest things to say about you. And I must say, by the looks of it, every word of it was true.
You're too kind.
Oh, not at all. It's an honour to welcome a man of your elevated standing to my humble establishment.
Thank you, Mrs.
Hudson's sister. Mrs. Hudson's sister. But you, Mr. Holmes, can call me Petunia. And you, Dr. Watson, can call me Mrs. Hudson's sister. So, Sherlock, if I may be so forward as to call you that, why don't I take you up to your room and get you all comfy-like?
What? No, really, there's no need.
Oh, but I insist.
No, honestly, I'm quite capable of finding my room by myself.
But this is such a big house, Mr. Holmes. It's so easy to get yourself lost.
Not for me. I'm a detective, you see. I'm good at finding things.
Well, if you're sure.
I'm absolutely positive, thank you.
That'll be the broom cupboard, Mr. Holmes.
Yes. I realised that. I was just checking where they were kept. Watson, the brooms are in here, if ever we should need them later on.
Righto, Holmes.
Yes, well, rather, I'll go and find my room now.
Miss Petrovic.
Oh, Dr. Watson, I have to see Mr. Holmes straight away.
Oh, I don't blame you, dear. He's gorgeous!
Miss Travis, in case you're confused, this is...
Mrs. Hudson's sister. Yes, I'd worked that out for myself.
You had? Oh, only I thought you might have mistaken her for her twin sister, our housekeeper, Mrs. Hudson. What with them being so similar?
Really? Now that you mention it, there is a passing resemblance.
See? I'll go and fetch Mr. Holmes for you now, then, my dear.
Thank you. And please hurry. It's most urgent.
But do knock before you go in. He might be in a state of undress.
Really? Then I'd better get a move on, then!
With Holmes out of the way, I saw this as my opportunity to show the beautiful Miss Travers that I could be her knight in shining armour. I summoned up every ounce of courage and said... While Holmes is temporarily indisposed, perhaps I could be of assistance. After all, we are colleagues.
Yes, I suppose you are. Oh, I do so hope you can help, Dr. Watson.
So do I. And then please, call me John.
John.
Hear that? She called me John. So, Lucy, tell me what happened.
Very well, John. When I returned home this afternoon... Uncle Moriarty was there.
The scoundrel! What was he doing?
I'm not sure, but he had in his hand the box Mummy gave me on her deathbed.
The bounder! And what did he have to say for himself?
He told me I had to leave the house by the end of the week.
The swine! So what did you do?
I'm afraid I told him you and Mr. Holmes were helping me.
Ah, I bet that news gave him the jitters. So what did he have to say to that?
He said...
Give my regards to Mr. Holmes and that buffoon of a doctor he hangs around with.
Oh, I see.
Oh, John, what do you think we should do?
This was a heaven-sent chance for me to impress her with my brilliant plan. Except that I couldn't for the life of me think of one. Well, I think perhaps the best plan is to tell Holmes and see what he thinks we should do.
I'm perfectly capable of putting up my own trousers. Thank you, Mrs. Hudson's sister.
Oh, it's all part of the service, Mr. Holmes.
There you are, Holmes. Miss Machadas, she's had a visit from our friend, Professor Moriarty.
Good evening, Miss Machadas. So, did he get a chance to see the box?
I'm afraid he did, Mr. Holmes. In fact, he had it in his hand when I saw him. But how did you know that?
Simple deduction. I thought it would interest him. And does he have it still?
No. Here it is. He gave it back when I told him you were on the case.
Ah, so he knows of my involvement, does he?
Yes. I'm afraid he made me so angry I let it slip.
No matter. I'm sure he would have found out soon enough.
Absolutely. He always seems to be one step ahead of evil, doesn't he, Holmes?
I wouldn't put it in quite those terms, but he certainly does have an uncanny knack of knowing my whereabouts. Almost before I do myself. If he's already seen the box, he's ahead of me yet again. This box, what do you make of it, Watson?
Why, it's empty, Holmes.
And yet the clue is in the box.
It is. I don't understand.
May I have it back, Watson? I need to peruse it with my magnifying glass. Yes, when I say the clue is in the box, what I mean is it is in the box itself. See? The image on the lid. Do you recognise it, Miss Matravers?
Why, of course. It's the picture of our local church. The Matravers family crypt is there.
Ah, then that is the clue your mother was leaving you.
I say, so perhaps that's where the will is hidden.
Perhaps, but what is certain is that Moriarty has a head start. We must leave for the church without delay.
So we did.
Ah, yes. This looks like the churchyard. But I haven't got any time to waste. Oh, no, I haven't. Because I've got an evil plot to undertake. And what better for undertaking than a graveyard? And unless I'm much mistaken, which, of course, I never am, this must be the family crypt.
That's the entrance to the Matravers family crypt.
And the blackguard Moriarty is still in there. I can see the light from his lantern.
Let's go in and overpower the bounder.
No, no. Better let him find what he's after, then catch him red-handed when he comes out.
Good idea, Holmes. So that's exactly what we did. Concealing ourselves until our quarry emerged from the crypt. He was in there for some time. Ah, here he comes at last, emerging from the crypt. He's carrying a large sack with something in it. So, he snooked behind our quarry. Then Holmes stopped him in his tracks with...
Not so fast, Moriarty.
Ah, well, well. Mr. Sherlock Holmes. You are to be congratulated. I didn't expect you to be here quite so soon.
So it would seem. Now, what's in the sack?
What, this? Oh, nothing that need concern you.
But perhaps you'll be so kind as to let us see anyway.
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
But I'm afraid I'm going to have to insist, Professor.
Unfortunately, so am I. And I have a knife!
On seeing Moriarty draw his blade, my comrade retaliated by whipping out his service revolver.
Oh, I see. Narrating me into trouble, are we, Doctor? Well, two can play at that game. Just then, a freak gust of wind blew Sherlock Holmes's gun right from his grasp.
I'm the narrator. You can't just take over a chap's narrating like that.
Oh, can't I? Just watch me. Just then, for no apparent reason at all, Dr. Watson was struck completely dumb.
Cunning, very cunning, but not as cunning as this. Unfortunately for Moriarty, he found the gun wasn't loaded.
What?
Suddenly, Moriarty sneezed, his convulsion sending the sack high into the air and straight into the arms of Sherlock Holmes.
Touché, Mr. Holmes, touché!
Before Moriarty could move in on Holmes, he inexplicably started jogging on the spot.
What? Clever, but you've not beaten me yet. Then, to everyone's absolute amazement, Sherlock Holmes turned into a great big chicken. Ah, this narrating game's a lark, isn't it? I'll take that sack back, thank you. Once again, Moriarty had triumphed over his old adversary.
However, Moriarty hadn't reckoned without the beautiful and resourceful Lucy Matravers, who emerged from the shadows just in time to see Moriarty drop the sack, then jog off in the direction of the village, unable to stop himself until he had fallen headlong into the duck pond.
What? Why? You? Blood! Damn you, you little minx! You may have won this round, Sherlock Holmes, but you've not seen the last of me! Not by a long shot!
Oh, dear. Whatever shall I do about you two? Oh, no. Once Moriarty had been safely disposed of, Holmes and Watson returned to their normal selves.
I say, Lucy, that was inspired.
Yes, yes. Here, here. Well done, Miss Matravers. Your quick thinking has saved the day.
Oh, please. It was the least I could do. From that moment on, only Dr. Watson himself was able to narrate the rest of the story. There. That should do it.
Oh, Lucy, you are a clever old thing.
Why, thank you, John.
Now, let's see what's in this sack that was so important to our friend Moriarty, shall we? A large leather-bound book which appears to be a Bible.
Oh, why, it's the Matravers family Bible. It's been kept here in the crypt for generations.
I say, then perhaps you will be inside it.
I don't think so, Watson. If it were, Moriarty would have had no further need for it. No, he wanted the Bible itself for some reason. But why? I think I'll take this back to our lodgings where I can subject it to a thorough examination. Come on, you two. Let's go.
On our return from the churchyard, I retired to my bed, leaving Holmes examining the mulch of his Bible. Next morning, discovered him still poring over the same book, still scrutinising every inch with his magnifying glass. Just then, there was a knock at the door, and Mrs. Hudson's sister entered.
Go away! Only me, Mr. Holmes! Oh, Dr. Watson, you're here, are you?
Yes, I am, Mrs. Hudson's sister, and I'm here to ensure Mr. Holmes isn't disturbed.
Oh, don't fuss! I've only come to see if I can get him a cup of tea. Just let me come in and ask him.
No, he mustn't be interrupted.
Oh, well, pardon me for breathing. You ask him then.
Not even I may speak to him when he's in a brown study.
But we haven't got a brown study.
No. Brown study is an expression. It means deep in thought.
Oh, then why don't you say so? Instead of coming down here from London, bringing your fancy sayings and sophisticated ways. I'm only thinking of poor Mr. Holmes's well-being.
I'm sure you are.
Oh, look at him. Doesn't he look dashing? Thinking his thoughts and pondering his problems. My sister was right, you know. He's far too good-looking to be wasted on bachelorhood.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. But if you could just...
Oh, and that pipe. Oh, I do like a man with a pipe. It's so... so manly. What's that gorgeous aroma? Is that from his pipe?
That will be all, Mrs. Hudson, sister.
Oh, all right. Keep your hair on. I can take an in, you know. I know when I'm not wanted. Honestly, you only had to say so.
Thank you, Watson.
Ah, Holmes, so sorry about that.
It's of no consequence.
Any luck with the Bible?
None whatsoever, I'm afraid, and yet... no, nothing. It's just a typical family Bible with a family tree on the flyleaf, as you would expect. But one thing is certain. Moriarty attaches an importance to this book, and it's only a matter of time before he hatches a plan to get it back. You better keep it somewhere safe. Let me see. I know.
Oh, no, not her back again. For the last time, leave us alone, you silly old... Lucy, it's you.
Hello, John.
Sorry, I thought you were the landlady.
Do I look like the landlady?
Certainly not.
Good morning, Mr. Holmes.
Miss Matravers.
Mr. Holmes, the strangest thing has happened. This morning I found this envelope pushed under my front door.
May I?
Inside the envelope there's a note, a playbill and some theatre tickets. It's all very odd.
The note is addressed to Miss Matravers and reads, I see the future and have information that can help you. Come to my performance and all will be revealed. Signed, Me No Lie, Ancient Chinese Mystic.
Good Lord!
The playbill advertises his matinee show at a venue near here. Well, this very lunchtime.
Well, I never. And where is the venue?
It's the Gaiety. What's even more intriguing is he sent three tickets. You realise what that means?
Yes, it means we can all go.
It means, Watson, that whoever Me No Lie is, he knows about us to have sent three tickets.
Well, that's not so strange. After all, he is a mystic. Aren't they supposed to be able to see things coming?
He has certainly seen you coming. I think I'll take my revolver along, just in case it turns out to be a trap. After all, it's always best to be prepared.
So, when it came to being prepared, Holmes always was a belts and braces sort of chap.
Let's go and see this Me No Lie chap, shall we?
Absolutely. We're off.
Just a couple of weeks ago, my poor old Uncle Bill went to keep the bucket and he left me in his will. The other night I trotted around to see me Auntie Jane. Auntie said your uncle left you his watch and chain.
Ladies and gentlemen, now for your entertainment, edification and education.
Ooh.
We bring you that preeminent presenter of precious prestidigitation and precise precognition.
Ah!
That diviner from China.
Cool!
That hoary gent from the Orient.
Wow!
That old guy from Shanghai. Me No Lie, the ancient Chinese mystic.
Many thanks, ladies and gentlemen. Too kind, too kind. I am Me No Lie, ancient Chinese mystic. I am ancient. I am Chinese. And this is mystic.
That's all good. Mystic. Mystic.
Oh, too kind, too kind. And now, please, I need two volunteers for special magic trick.
I shall raise my hand.
And me.
Oh, yes, please. Pretty lady there, please to come up. And maybe the gentleman next to her.
Where do you think you're going, Watson?
But he said that...
No, I'll go. Don't forget, this may well be a trap and Lucy needs protecting.
But why are you better suited to that task than I am?
Because I am the world's greatest detective and you are a ninny.
Fair point, Holmes. You and Lucy go on stage.
Please to give much applause to our two volunteers!
Bravo! Bravo!
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I present famous Chinese love clip!
Me No Lie performs a lope trick. Sorry, a rope trick. With Lucy as his assistant, while Holmes looks on. First, he gets a member of the audience to check the rope, then ties a knot in it. The knot disappears when Lucy is asked to blow on it.
I say, well done, Lucy.
The second part of the trick involves another knot, which this time moves up and down the rope as Lucy waves the magician's wand over it.
More!
Too kind, too kind. And now, highlight of whole act. For this, I will tie up beautiful assistant.
No, you don't, my friend.
Oh, is problem?
Yes, is problem. If anyone's going to be tied up around here, it will be me, not her.
Oh, really well, is no problem. You tied up and beautiful assistant will help me. Here is Lope. Please to tie hands and feet.
Oh, very well.
Very tight, please. Very tight. And now, please to show audience. Very good. Next, beautiful assistant will sprinkle rope with special magic dust.
What magic dust?
Ah, so sorry. Big mistake. Me No Lie leave magic dust backstage. A thousand apologies. please, Brewer for assistant, go backstage and bring bag of magic dust from table.
Very well, be right back.
Too kind. Sir, you like this Tillick very much, I think. Very clever.
Yes, 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 I'm sure. And Mr. Lai, where has beautiful assistant got to?
Ah, I go see. Hello? Lady? Hello? Oh, very sorry. Lady lost. I go find. A thousand apologies. I go, I come back.
Watson, quick.
What is it, Holmes?
Go after him. I fear something of fishes afoot.
Right, Holmes. Lucy!
Well?
Nothing. She's completely disappeared. And that Oriental chappie with her.
Dash it. Did you find anything?
Only this. It looks like a moustache.
A moustache? My God, Watson, you know what this means.
He's just had a shave.
No, it must be a false moustache. I fear our so-called magician was none other than Moriarty in disguise.
Oh, the absolute bounder.
Yet again, we've been outwitted.
What do you mean, we? You're the one who allowed himself to be tied up when you were supposed to be looking after poor Lucy. Now she's in the clutches of that madman.
I understand your concern, Watson, but now is not the time to be apportioning blame. We must get after them at once.
Don't worry. I will. Lucy! Lucy!
Wait for me, Watson. Wait for me.
We spent hours chasing back and forth, searching every corner of that building. But Lucy and her kidnapper, we found not a trace, save for a pair of comedy teeth and a coolie hat. Holmes took Lucy's disappearance very much to heart, not helped by my dig about him getting himself tied up. So when we returned to our rooms, he shut himself away and played his eyes. Whenever he got upset, I'd go off and have a fiddle. I tried to coax him out of the room by suggesting theories about the case, and finally managed to draw his response with the... Well, to my mind, Holmes, the whole thing is open and shut. He's kidnapped Lucy and has hidden her away. Until the week is up, he inherits the estate. It's as simple as that.
Your theory doesn't stand close scrutiny, Watson. Unless Lucy can prove her indictment, Moriarty will inherit anyway in a few days, whether Lucy's around or not. No, there's more to this matter than that, I fear.
Then why did he go to all that trouble to steal her away? It just doesn't make sense.
The usual motive for kidnapping is bargaining power. He wants to trade her in for something he needs.
Maybe, but what have we got that he could possibly, or what could possibly have used to him?
What he's been after all along, of course, the Matravers family Bible.
By Jove! You're right, Holmes. Why didn't I think of that?
Because I am the world's greatest detective, and you...
Yes, I know. I'm a ninny.
Precisely.
I may be a ninny, but at least I don't pretend I can play the violin.
What are you implying by that?
No, nothing, Holmes.
Oh, come on, out with it.
I just think it's a bit strange that you only ever play the violin in your room alone.
I like to be alone. It helps me concentrate.
Oh, of course it does. It's very convenient, though, isn't it?
What is?
That you like to play in your room alone in your room where nobody can see you.
For your information, I play in my room because I'm shy.
Of course you do. In your room, where, coincidentally, you also happen to keep your gramophone player.
How dare you? I've never been so insulted in my life. This is because you blame me for losing your girlfriend, isn't it?
Well, you did. And she isn't my girlfriend. At least not yet. My companion had been hurt by my assassination. As far as I was concerned, it served him right. Why Lucy to be kidnapped? At that moment, the envelope was pushed under our door. Holmes, Holmes, come quickly!
What is it now?
Look, it's an envelope.
Well, pick it up, Watson, pick it up.
But it's got "Do not bend."
It's referring to the envelope, you buffoon.
I knew that. I say, it's addressed to you.
Then open it immediately. For unless I'm very much mistaken, it'll be a ransom demand from Moriarty, offering his prisoner in exchange for the Bible. Well?
You're right. That's exactly what it is. Look, there's a picture of Lucy and a note. My dear doctor, if you ever want to see your girlfriend again... Not my girlfriend.
Get on with it.
Then bring the Bible to the graveyard tonight. And no fancy tricks, or else.
Of course. Why didn't I think of that? The graveyard. So that's where Morat has been hiding. But what is it about the Bible that makes it so important to him? It must be in here somewhere. Aha! Of course, Holmes. How could you be so blind? It was staring you in the face all the time. Come, Watson. We've no time to lose. The game's afoot.
Spending a few hours with me is like attending a complete masterclass in criminal genius. Or should that be geniusness? Well, it doesn't matter. I'm a criminal genius, not a grammatical one. Anyway, what you are about to witness is the final part of my plan. What we in the criminal underworld call the trade-off. They've got something I want, the Bible. And I've certainly got something they want, luscious little Lucy. I'm staying her away in here, the Matravers family crypt. Haven't I, my dear?
Let me go, you brute! Oh, these ones are hurting my wrists!
Now, don't get so uppity. This will all be over in a trice. And then you can give your boyfriend, the dopey doctor, a great big sloppy kiss.
He's not my boyfriend. And anyway, you've not won yet. Sherlock Holmes can beat absolutely anyone.
Except me, it seems. He can't seem to get the hang of that one. No, I've got everything under control, and with you in my clutches, Holmes and his crony won't dare to try any tricks. Now, back in the pit with you. There's a good girl. Those two should be here any minute.
Thank you.
Have you got the set, Watson? Now do exactly as we planned, and we'll soon have your girlfriend back.
Oh, good. And she's not my girlfriend.
There's the crypt. Go on. You take the parcel in as planned, and I'll wait here.
Good evening, Dr. Watson.
Let's dispense with the niceties, shall we? Where's Lucy, you cad?
All in good time. Ah, I see you've bought the Bible. Very sensible. Now, if you'll be so kind as to hand it over.
Not yet, Watson. We want to see Lucy first, Professor.
Of course you do, Mr. Holmes.
And if you've so much as harmed a hair on her head...
Now, why should I want to do that, hmm? I'm a master criminal, not a blooming hairdresser. Fear not, Doctor. Miss Matravers is alive and well, and as soon as this little business transaction is completed, you'll be able to give your girlfriend a great, big, sloppy kiss.
How many more times... Lucy Matravers is not my girlfriend.
That's what I keep telling him, John. Why, you haven't even asked me on a date yet.
Exactly. Though I must say, Lucy, this is a state of affairs I intend to rectify as soon as this sorry episode is over.
And when you do ask me, John, be assured I fully intend to accept.
Oh, do you, Lucy?
I do, John.
When you two lovebirds have quite finished, Holmes and I still have to complete our little exchange of goods. Shall we?
Certainly. What's in the sack?
Very well, Holmes, if you insist. Here's the sack, Moriarty.
Too kind. And now, here's my end of the bargain. And believe me, you're welcome to it.
Oh, thank goodness.
I'm glad you saw sense and agreed to our little trade-off, Mr. Holmes.
I realised there was no alternative. It became obvious to me that there never was a will. And without one, the estate must inevitably pass to the oldest direct relative. I'm sorry, Miss Matravers, you must face the facts.
Yes, and the fact is this, Lucy, my dear. You'll be out of Matravers Towers by the weekend. So, once again, I've come out on top. Hey, Holmes.
So it would seem.
Perhaps just as that is my curiosity, you understand. But tell me why you were so keen to get the Matravers family Bible.
What, this? Oh, just call me a sentimental old fool. And, after all, as I am now the rightful owner of the Matravers estate, it does belong to me.
However, there's still one thing I don't understand. If there never was a will, why did Lady Matravers want Lucy to find that Bible? Unless, of course, it proved that she, not you, was the rightful heir.
What?
And how could it possibly do that?
Well, that baffled me for a while. Then I thought to myself, what's so special about a family Bible? Then came the answer. They always have a family tree on the flyleaf. And sure enough, this one was no exception. But this one didn't show James Moriarty as the rightful heir.
It didn't?
No. In fact, the family tree didn't show James Moriarty at all. For James Moriarty was never in line to inherit because James Moriarty was adopted.
What? That's ridiculous. Here, I have the sack. In any case, you'll never be able to prove it.
Oh, won't I?
No. You're clutching at straws, Sherlock Holmes.
And what are you getting at, Professor Moriarty?
What? Northern Cyprus? An idiot's guide? You'll pay for this.
We already have. It was 1 in 6.
Where's my Bible, Holmes?
We took the precaution of dropping it in on the local police station on our way here. The Bible, together with a copy of your adoption papers, are safely in their possession.
Blast the pair of you!
The game's up, Moriarty. It only remains for us to take you into custody.
Yeah, you may have thwarted my plans, Holmes, but you've not caught me yet!
This time, Moriarty, we're going to throw the book at you.
No, no, Holmes. In fact, quite the contrary. I'm throwing the book at you! Ha!
Quick, Watson. Let's get off him.
Coming, Holmes.
What's up with Mr. Holmes?
Moriarty got away with it again. Surprise, surprise. I must say, I've never seen Holmes as depressed and deflated as he was that night. He seemed to take Moriarty's escape very much to heart. As his doctor, as well as his friend, I felt it best to get Holmes back to familiar surroundings as soon as possible. So, next morning, we caught the early train to London, and by lunchtime, we were safely back in our Baker Street rooms. I'm afraid to report the change of scene did nothing to the spirits. True, he had prevented Moriarty from taking Lucy's rightful inheritance, but while the professor was still at large, to Holmes, it was a hollow victory. And I think my harsh words with him had hit home, too, for he was rather distant and abrupt with me. Once again, he stayed in his room, shuffling out the world, playing his violin.
This is silly. After all, he did what I asked him to do. He stopped Moriarty taking my home from me.
I know that, and you know that. He just won't be told. He won't be content until he's solved the mystery of exactly how Moriarty always seems to know his enemy.
Perhaps he just needs to concede that Uncle Moriarty is that little bit clever.
Good grief. He'll never do that. No, Holmes will solve this, you mark my words.
I've cracked it.
Cracked what, Holmes? Your violin? It looks well enough in your hand.
Moriarty does it. I've solved the mystery at last.
Well done.
What is it, Watson?
The violin, it's still playing. So tell us your theory.
It's not a theory, Watson, it's the answer. Now, where is Mrs. Hudson? I need her here as a witness.
Lucy is here, Holmes.
Good evening, Mr. Travers.
Mrs. Hudson?
I'm coming, sir!
Mrs. Hudson, I need you to witness what I'm about to say.
Very good, Mr. Holmes. Oh, it's good to see you back to your usual self, sir.
Thank you. Yes, I am back. At last, the scales have fallen from my eyes.
Please don't keep us in suspense any longer, Mr. Holmes.
Very well.
Well, I was telling you, Watson.
Don't chew with my mouth open.
Eliminate the impossible. Do that, or whatever remains, however impossible, must be the truth.
Oh, that.
Yes, so this is the method I have applied to this case. And what am I left with? The improbable yet inevitable truth. How does Moriarty seem to anticipate my every move? To know facts and theories only ever shared between people in this room. The inescapable truth is that he knows because he is here.
Here?
Precisely. For instance, only someone who was present during Lucy's visit to her apartment could possibly have known about the wooden box Lydia McTravers gave her. And yet Moriarty himself did know about it that very afternoon. Someone must have heard Lucy tell me. Someone who was above suspicion. Someone I thought I could trust beyond question.
I say, you can't mean...
Can't I?
Surely you're not accusing John, Mr. Holmes.
Am I not? Who else could it be? Who else was there?
Why, no one. Except for myself and Mrs. Hudson, of course.
Exactly. So, eliminate the impossible, that my only true friend Dr. Watson could ever betray me, and the improbable answer reveals itself. Mrs. Hudson is our traitor.
No!
Or should I say, Professor Moriarty.
Good grief! You've been wearing a wig!
You bound to Moriarty. What have you done with poor Mrs. Hudson? Don't you
worry yourself, Watson. There never was a Mrs. Hudson, was there, Professor?
I was wondering how long it would take you to find me out.
You mean...
Yes, it's been Moriarty all along. He must have found my advertisement for a housekeeper too good an opportunity to resist.
So, for 8 years, you've been keeping house for us just so you could listen on our deliberations.
Clever, don't you think?
And so, each time our paths crossed, you knew our every move in advance.
Precisely.
Well, now at last your charade is up. Place him under arrest, Watson.
It'll be a pleasure, Holmes.
Arrest? What for? Impersonating a cleaning lady?
Well, let's see. There's kidnap, attempted blackmail, trying to retain property under false pretenses.
Yes, if you put it like that. Well, I'd like to oblige Mr. Holmes, but I really don't fancy spending the next 15 years behind bars. So, if you'll excuse me, I have a gun!
Oh,
leave him be, Watson. He's not worth it.
Very wise. Sorry to have to get the better of you yet again. But I really ought to be going. Till next time, Sherlock Holmes. And believe me, there will be a next time.
I don't believe it. Once more, he slipped through our fingers.
Not this time, Watson. I took the liberty of informing Scotland Yard of my revelation. Right now, I fancy our dear professor is running straight into the arms of Inspector Lestrade and a dozen of his finest constables.
Ah! Damn you, Sherlock Holmes! You've not heard the last of me!
My jingo, there's no finer sight than seeing a man in a dress arrested by a British bobby. Oh, well done, Holmes.
Yes, you are to be congratulated, Mr. Holmes. I'll feel a lot safer now, knowing Uncle Moriarty will be out of circulation for a good while.
It's a pleasure to oblige, Miss Matravers, and I mean that most sincerely.
But how on earth did you work out Moriarty was Mrs. Hudson?
I'm only amazed it took me so long. All the clues were there to be seen.
Well, I don't see it.
On the contrary, you see everything, Watson, but like most people, you fail to reason from what you see. You know how I apply my methods.
Oh, yes, I mean, of course I do, but perhaps you could explain them to me once again, just for the sake of Lucy and the listeners, you understand.
If you insist. The first clue, and the one I've already mentioned, is the box. We were the only people Lucy had mentioned the box to, and yet Moriarty knew of its importance when she found him in her house. Who was the only person who could possibly have heard Lucy tell us about the box?
Mrs. Hudson, that's who was.
And now to the second clue, the mysterious Mrs. Hudson's sister. You said, Watson, that you never knew Mrs. Hudson had a sister. That's precisely because you never did have one. The twin sister was conveniently invented by Mrs. Hudson, or should I say Moriarty, so he could continue to eavesdrop on our plans while we're in Hampshire. Which brings us to clue number three, the Dewdrop Inn.
Mrs. Hudson said her sister could put us up because she ran an inn in the next village.
But no one had mentioned to her where Matravers Towers was.
Therefore, she must have known about Matravers Towers already.
And finally, we come to the blackmail note.
How did Moriarty know where to send the blackmail note?
I certainly hadn't told him where you were, so he must have already known that you were staying at the Dewdrop Inn.
And how could he have known that you, my dear Watson, had feelings for Miss Matravers?
John!
Only Mrs. Hudson would have known that, for only she had seen the obvious signs of affection between the two of you. And yet, he sent the blackmail note not to me, his main adversary, but to you, knowing you would do anything to ensure your beloved Lucy came to no harm. And you remember, he also knew of your blossoming relationship with Miss Matravers when he mocked you about it in the churchyard.
So there we have it. The clues were all there. Oh, incredible, my dear Holmes.
Elementary, my dear Watson.
And to think he had us completely fooled for 8 whole years, living here under our roof, pretending to be a woman of the opposite gender.
Oh, my God.
I say, what is it, Holmes? You've gone quite pale.
I've just come to a most ghastly realisation, Watson.
What's that, Holmes?
I just remembered that last Christmas under the mistletoe, I gave Mrs. Hudson a Christmas kiss.
Oh, did you, Holmes? Did you really? Oh, that really is priceless, giving a kiss to your mortal enemy. Actually, come to think of it, so did I.
Touché, Watson, touché.
Ooh, I feel quite queasy.
Well, John, dearest, I know a remedy.
No, you do. What's that?
Oh, come here, Dr. Watson.
BRT CADS production of Sherlock's Excellent Adventure by James Barry, directed by Jenny Lovegrove, with David Garrod as Sherlock Holmes, Mike Soquel as Dr. Watson, Matthew Turner as Professor Moriarty, Mrs. Hudson, Mrs. Hudson's sister, and Mino Lai, Jan Marsh as Lucy Matravers, Brian Coe as the announcer, and Tony Woods as the Master of Ceremonies. Sound effects and editing were by Errol Zia.
Although your baby
and studio production
on the stage
was by Jan Garza.
How can I make it clear? This is not a good idea for her to hope. Dear Mrs. Worthington, is on the face of it absurd. Her personality is not in reality exciting enough, inviting enough for this particular sphere.